unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom known. Even in 100,000 buried kelpas, now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amidst the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. One of the things that Reverend Master pointed out so many times was that the we're always growing into the teachings, and that we come to a certain position of understanding and then the ante gets upped, as you like to say, and we get the rug pulled out from under us. It's like we're starting all over again. This is such a wonderful and helpful and humbling aspect of the spiritual life. It's so aptly and wonderfully expressed in the old Zen saying that Zen mind is beginner's mind. In Dogen's beautiful words, the merit of first mind is the widest and most completely fathomless. Even if Buddhas express it fully, such explanation can never be enough. Where is all that arriving and then starting over headed? Put very simply, to undergo this process willingly, and the word willingly is absolutely essential here, to undergo this process willingly and continually, and to be willing to undergo it forever, is of necessity, not by chance, but of necessity, to be put in a position where one has to rely on the eternal. Again and again, our little realizations are temporary seeming successes, seeming failures, are transitory ups and downs, are simply left behind, they fall away. And it is really the willingness to accept this continual eroding away, falling away, dissolving away, really is the right word. Into immaculacy. The dissolving into immaculacy of all the past. So over and over again we're left at the foot of the Buddha, you might say, kneeling, bowing, once again, I don't know the way forward, please show me. Once again, I recognize and accept my humanity. Please help me. This may seem to be no ground at all. It feels like that at times. And yet, it is in fact a solid spiritual ground one can always stand upon. Back in my retreat in 98, 99, it came up for me again and again, this is the zero reset. This is the zero reset. I was thinking of like when your odometer, when I put gas in my car, I punch this little button that returns it to zero. So then I can keep track of how my mileage is doing. And it's the zero reset. Having nothing, knowing nothing, demanding, insisting upon nothing. Not my will, but thine. And here's something very interesting. That to train in this way is really, again, of necessity, to train at the deepest level of the precepts. Level beyond the level of I want to follow the precepts. I try to follow the precepts because if I don't, I suffer. I make a mess. Others suffer as a result of my making messes. And that's true enough. Yet the precepts are much more than this. And really, the level that I'm speaking of today is a level of that you could really call the precepts of following. Because it just so happens. And try to understand this. I don't understand it. There's something about it I think is actually incomprehensible. But it just so happens that the that if one lives from that place of please show me the way, if one lives from that place of asking, offering, waiting patiently, listening carefully, following, the precepts describe one's actions. Maybe one way of looking at it from one angle, it's just that one is not introducing elements that disrupt this deep, subtle, delicate yet incredibly strong process. One doesn't introduce elements that fritter away at, jangle, confuse this quintessentially simple process. one doesn't introduce elements that disrupt the ongoing contemplation. Contemplation of what? One might ask. But that's the wrong question. The deep contemplation is this ongoing communion with the unborn. Once again, as so many, many times, I just have to say that if one cannot find a better little guidebook for doing this than River Master Jiyu's wonderful commentary on the precepts. Do nothing whatsoever in a hurry. Do nothing whatsoever on the spur of the moment. Ask the Lord of the house. Wait in willingness. Listen. Don't think of anything as being so trivial that one can't ask. Without wishing to water down this talk, I should mention here that one must not turn the asking into a formula. The asking is one aspect. There are other aspects. The offering, the waiting, the listening, the following. Because if one turns the asking into a formula, or any other aspect of it into a kind of a formula, then you get a whole proliferation of confusion and delusion. Another way to put this is, when in doubt, sit still. Just go back to the zero reset. Just go back to pure meditation. We don't have to run around in our heads about this. It's precisely what we need not to do. Don't run around in our heads. As soon as we start running around in our heads about it, it all gets very confusing and complex, and we start feeling very remote from the eternal. Even the slightest twitch will surely break the rhythm. There's a lovely little verse in the Bible, in the New Testament somewhere. I think it's attributed to Jesus. Unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Not childish, but the childlike faith. Her master pointed out in Zenith Eternal Life that we in the West are far too educated, if you want to call it that, into a reliance on our brains. We end up trying to force the brain to do things that it was never meant to do. And one of the ironies of this is that if people looked actually more carefully at experience, they'd see that many of the things that people mistakenly attribute to the brain actually originate somewhere else and just get processed by the brain in the later stages of their development. Many great insights in science have come this way. Certainly, many great works of art are produced this way. But above all in religion, we must not get seduced by and confused by an ambition for intellectual clarity. The zero reset is in the place of unknowing, where one looks in pure faith to that which is greater than oneself. As a side effect of that act, sometimes an intellectual clarity will come. Sometimes it will be a remarkable intellectual clarity. One of the things one should be intellectually clear about, we forget this. One of the things we should be intellectually clear about at that time when the intellectual clarity comes is that it is passing. It will never last. True insight manifests out of the unknowing and dissolves back into it, leaving the flow of the spiritual life clean and undisturbed. Yet if we grasp after intellectual insight, we immediately create a disturbance where there was none before. It is enough to sit still in simple, pure faith. It is enough be willing to take the next step. When it is good to ask which direction to go, to take the time when it is good to do so to sit with the question and allow the answer to manifest naturally from deep within. It is enough to make whatever move is good to make when it is time to make it, the right time. It is enough to go on again into a greater unknowing. If we can do this in our life, then we come to the time of our death there is nothing to create a disruption at that crucial time. There's nothing to create karmic jangles.